Marlon, you got to hear the introduction to this, or you're going to be angry with me. So, no, I don't. You done good, bud. I'm a control freak when it comes to this. I got to do it. Sylvia, behave yourself. How many people think the band ought to be sitting with us and not like off at the back there? Put your hand up if you think the band ought to be sitting with us. Yeah, they should, shouldn't they? I know I'm grieved with them sitting back there. This is just not right, you know. Yeah. Chantel, everybody wants the band to sit closer. They're grieved that you're sitting so far away. They are. Come on. Let's go. Justin, Asufu, Sergio, I you guys got to hear the intro to here. Because there's no way I can get away with a title like this without explaining it. Like, this is just like silly, you know? Isn't that the silliest title you've ever seen, Miriam? It is, isn't it? I know. If I was you right now, Miriam, I'd be thinking, okay, counsel, you're getting a little gimmicky now. This is silly. Like, you know, what's wrong with you? Got to pray for this one. Could you imagine on the website when they look at the titles and they're looking for sermons to download? What is that, you know? That is so gimmicky. What is with that counsel guy? He's just strange, you know? Huh? Yeah, I know. I would be thinking that too. I don't want to start until Dan and Chantel get in here, you know? Like, Bobby, are you working Sunday school today? Okay, you need to be in here too. Make sure we get this all on the podcast here. People are going to love this, you know, they're listening from Vancouver. I'm thinking of Dan and Joan Murphy, you know, they listen to the podcast out there. Anyway, we should pray. With a title this silly, we need to pray. Father, you got to make this come alive. And God, we've said it often, Lord God, that we don't need to hear another sermon. We really don't, God. 90% of the crowd here, Lord God, has heard everything that they need to hear, to have everything they need, God, to turn their world upside down for you, God. And Lord, we really don't need to sing any more songs either, because we've heard them all as well. But Lord, this is all we know how to do. And God, we have put, Lord, our music, and we have put, Lord God, our understanding of the word and our fellowship before you, like the little boy who gave you 5 loaves and 2 fishes, knowing that there's no way it's going to feed the 5,000. But God, you remind us again that we're putting it in your hands. And Lord, you can take the music, you can take your word, and you can do amazingly powerful things with it. And God, we're asking you to do that this morning. Would you please do that this morning, God? In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Turn your cell phones off, okay? We don't like embarrassing people. And if yours goes off in the middle of this, this is what you're going to do, okay? You're going to do this. Watch. You're going to go, and by the time you find it, it'll have rung 27 times. And, you know, we'll be sick and tired of hearing your Donald Duck ringtone. And just turn it off, okay? Here we go. Tutti Frutti O Rudy. There's Richard Penniman. Very unique character. Look, it's going off already. Somebody's phone's going off, okay? Richard Penniman, better known as Little Richard. Quite a unique guy. He was raised a Seventh-day Adventist. And which is a very legalistic form of Christianity, kind of on the fringes. Depending on which Seventh-day Adventist you talk to, they can be born again, spirit-filled, wonderful people, or they can be very, very cultic. And this guy, throughout his entire career, was either absolutely serving the devil and lascivious, and you know, or he would go in and out of his rock star life and become a preacher. You never heard what was going on, but there was a good between 1960 and 2010. There's about 20 years in there where this guy was full-time preaching. That's all he was doing, okay? Because he had this guilt complex. He'd go back and forth. And, of course, his famous tune is Tutti Frutti. Can you say wop bop loo bop loom boom bang? That's not a spiritual thing. That's not speaking in tongues, but that's what he was known for, okay? And I stole the title. And now you know what the title is, but now I want you to stay with me here, because I'm going to guide you around to a bit of some stuff here that I hope the Holy Spirit is going to use to talk to us. Okay, I want to talk about, how many of you ever heard this term spiritual warfare? Okay, you heard this term spiritual warfare. Okay, now the way I understand spiritual warfare and the way we talk about it in our Bible studies, and it looks like when we're done, ask the pastor on Thursday night, we're going to go into a Bible study on Ephesians, and it's going to be really, really good. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Spiritual warfare is we accept that Jesus was not pulling our leg, and he was telling the truth when he told us that there was a devil. that there are spiritual forces, that demons are real, and you know, there's weird old crazy Christian people that find devils under every rock and blame him for everything, okay? But there is a balance there. You can't get away from it. It is in the Bible. Jesus taught that. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, we talk about, you know, entering into battle with forces that want to destroy us and want to make life miserable for everybody. So we use terms like seeing the enemy defeated, evicting squatters, because everything on earth is under Christ's authority, but the enemy often will squat on territory that he has no right to. For instance, taking your kids and leading them away from God. He's not willing that any should perish. That's God's will. So we claim our family. We claim our loved ones for Christ, okay? Living in total victory. That's another one, because, you know, you could be saved and still be attacked. Prayers answered. Souls saved. Fulfillment of our purpose. Contentment. Peace. Prosperity as God defines it. This is all words that are used in the area when we're talking about spiritual warfare. Now, there's a lot of crazy rhetoric that's used when you hear about the term spiritual warfare too, and I want to throw up some lines that you've probably come across. Let's take a look at some of them. Take this city for Christ, okay? Fight the good fight. God's got an army marching through the land, okay? We are able to go up and take the country. Some of these are the most famous hymns that you ever heard, okay? Onward, Christian soldiers marching off to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Okay, and from the battle hymn of the Republic, he has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is march. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Okay, so this is the imagery that's been used in evangelical Christianity for the last 200 years. Okay? It's not very, like, I mean, some of it is biblical, but it is grossly quoted out of context. Okay? And people that don't know Jesus and people that hear about the love of God and how God is love and how Christ told us to wash each other's feet. Christ told us that, you know, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and love your neighbor as yourself. He said that was more important than all the Ten Commandments put together. Those were the two most important commandments going. When you hear that side of what God is love and everything and you read this kind of stuff, you go, what is that? You know? It's kind of like a militant, militaristic form of Christianity that people who don't know Jesus, they scratch their head and says, what is wrong with you guys? Okay? And they got a right to think that. Because it's kind of goofy. Now, let's back to this whole spiritual warfare thing. I want to tell you what the Bible says when it talks about spiritual warfare. I'll put up some scriptures here, okay? Jesus, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay, you can get that. John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it says, and Jesus says, but I have come life. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, okay, like people. But we wrestle against spiritual authorities in high places, okay? So the demonic there. Now here's one I like, 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they are mighty, the pulling down of strongholds. What are carnal weapons of warfare? Might makes right. He who has the toys, all the toys at the end of death wins, okay? Only the strong survive. You know, you got the biggest gun, you're gonna win. Those weapons are carnal. Whoever wins the argument, whoever wins the debate, whoever gets elected and gets the most votes, those weapons are carnal. That is not the church of the living God, okay? They are not carnal, but they're mighty to pulling down strongholds. And then Mark 9:29, when the disciples bring a demon-possessed guy to Jesus, and they can't cast him out, and Jesus says this, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. That's spiritual warfare there. You can see how different it is to, like, this whole militaristic thing. It is a different kettle of fish. It's a different animal, totally different. And boy, when the Church of Christ deviates from what the Bible says spiritual warfare is, compared to a lot of rhetoric there, we get in trouble. Okay? At best, we waste our time. At worst, people think we're nuts. And they'd rather run when they hear about our message instead of, wow, that's really interesting. Okay? So, why did I go with the goofy title? Because sometimes you go with a goofy title, it makes you remember some of the stuff that Jesus wants you to remember. Okay? So, let's go back to crazy title here. Tutti Frutti O Rudy. What in the world are you going to do with that? Well, first of all, let's do with the tutti. Okay? T-O-U-T in French means what? Yeah, all, everything, all, tout, you know, complete. All and the fruit, tutti, frutti, all the fruits of the Spirit all the time, okay? All the fruits of the Spirit all the time. John, where are you going with this? Stick with me here, okay? Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit, in case you don't know what they are, This is the fruits of the Spirit. This means if you have the Spirit of God, these things are going to be on you. These things are going to, people are going to be nourished because these spiritual fruits are growing from your body, and you are actually spiritually feeding people. When you follow Christ, He changes you from the inside, okay? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all the things that do not come naturally to you, okay? All the things that we surrender to Christ, and yet this is what He does. He turns us into these type of people, okay? And then it says at the end, against such there is no law. That denotes some type of warfare there. There's no force in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual kingdom. There is no force, there is no law, there is no authority that can stand up against the power of these fruits having their work in people's lives and affecting people, okay? Love dissolves hatred. Joy dispels discouragement. Self-control, man, that's going to protect you from all kinds of things. How many times have you got regrets because you didn't exercise self-control? I'm not here to browbeat you. I'm telling you, if you want more self-control in your life, your willpower can only take you so far. The rest of it is surrender to Christ. Say, Jesus, help me. Come and do your work in my life. This is the authentic infilling of the Holy Spirit right now. Okay? This is the authentic infilling of the Holy Spirit. These are the most authentic evidences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in people's lives right there. And when we say tutti frutti, all the fruit. We want all that fruit. Okay? Now, there's a few I want to emphasize here. These are powerful and mighty. These are powerful and mighty. They are effective to the pulling down of strongholds, like we just quoted in 2 Corinthians 10:4. Okay? These things are not of this world. They come from the Spirit. Oh, you see them evidenced in measure. But when you surrender your life to Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes in, if He baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, you're going to be growing in these things. And I want to emphasize this morning that these are way, way, way more powerful than ditch personality traits. These things pull down strongholds. These things will do miraculous works in people's lives that you never thought possible if we're trafficking in this and continuing to. And I mean all of them. They're not of this world. Nothing can stand against them. Against such there is no law. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought that the key to world peace, the key to harmony, the key to lowering the crime rate, the key to honesty in business, the key to relationships coming together, right here. Okay? Right there. Fight the good fight. Defeat the enemy. Change the world. Through what? Through this. These are the weapons of our warfare. Through patience, through kindness, through gentleness. That's God's way. What? That's no fun. Oh yeah? You never tried it. It's amazing to traffic in this stuff and see how God uses it. Because you know what happens? God starts flowing through you, and you knew it wasn't you. You know you just were faithful to these things here. And God starts taking it and multiplies it in other people's lives. And it brings down strongholds. And Jesus said in Luke 3:8, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. You can tell somebody's living repentance and they're living their life for Christ and not themselves when they're trafficking in these traits here. And when these traits are growing out of them. Okay? This is the productivity He wants in our life. Okay? And He wants us to bear fruit. He also said bad fruit does not come from a good tree. And good fruit doesn't come from a bad tree. Well, how do you change a tree? You can't change a tree. Only God can transform. Okay? He comes in and fruit starts coming. In fact, remember that story? And this, it's hard for me to understand this. The disciples are walking, you know, and there's this, Jesus goes to a fig tree. And He wants to get fruit off it. And there's no fruit. So He curses it. And by the time they walked by, the thing shriveled and died. You know, I think there's a comparison there. He expects us to bear fruit. Kind of look at it from His perspective. Hey, listen, I was tortured to death and bled and died for you. You know? How about getting on board here a little bit here? Okay? Yes, his salvation is free. Yes, His grace is amazing. But if you are really touched by His grace, if you ever get to the point where you understand how much God loves you, man, if that doesn't affect you, you're made out of stone, you know? If it's real, it's going to produce something. Now, I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits in modern day 21st century Christianity, they don't get a lot of attention because they're not too spectacular. They're, you know, they don't get a lot of headlines. They don't have people, you know, going on your mailing list and sending you money because you're the gifts of the Spirit, they get all the attention. Okay? Now, gifts, typical, and you can look them up. Prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, healing. Okay? Those are spectacular, boy. You know, somebody got a gift of healing or a gift of wisdom or a gift of prophecy or a gift of giving. You know, some of those are really spectacular. A gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Okay. Whoa. You know, that's impressive stuff. But some of you kind of know where I'm going with this, okay? 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I can fathom all mysteries, and if I can speak with the eloquence of angels, even if I surrender my body to the flames and give everything I have to the poor, and if I have not love, as spoken of, you know, through the gifts of the fruits of the Spirit, if I don't have that, I'm a tinkling brass or a resounding cymbal. In other words, I'm really, really, really annoying, okay? I've used this illustration dozens of times. It would be like me trying to teach you and talk to you right now while I'm banging cymbals like crazy. It would drive you nuts. What, are you crazy? Now, proper use of cymbals and everything, it's wonderful when it's orchestrated. But if it's just bang, 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 that's what it's like to have the gifts of the Spirit without the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're going to emphasize any, and if you want to specialize, don't even worry about the gifts. Let the gifts, let God handle the gifts. Let the gifts come and go in your life. But we are the ones that can cherish the fruits. We are the ones that can manage the fruits. Okay, we can be fruit farmers. We can be very, very good that way with the way we dispense the fruits that are growing from our lives. Okay, now, I was at somebody's house, and I tried to find a slide of this online as best I could. I was at somebody's house when I was pastoring in Brandon, and on their coffee table, they had a scale. And on one side, they had all these little presents and gifts, and on the other, there was this fake fruit. I said, what's that? And I thought it was great. I never saw it before. Perfect balance between the fruits and the gifts, you know? And that's what we're aiming for here, okay? A balance between the fruits and the gifts. So can I stir you up to crave? Can I stir you up? Can the Holy Spirit stir us up to crave, to long for, to traffic in, and to seek, okay, these fruits in our lives? God, I want to see that in my life. I want to see growth. I want to see increase. Because if you are gifted in any way, and there's a lot of giftings here, some of you haven't even discovered your gifts yet, but hopefully the Holy Spirit's going to release you in some of your gifts, okay? Your gifts, whatever God has given you, are pretty empty without these fruits, okay? It's just talent. Now, there are people who are gifted, and talent can make you a lot of money, but as far as eternal fruit, as far as the fruit that Christ desires us to bear, not much there. Okay, you got the tutti frutti thing, I get that. What's with the Rudy thing, you might want to know? Well, you know, we want to do a complete message, don't we, okay? Let's get to the Rudy part of it, okay? Tutti frutti is all the fruits in balance with the gifts. Here's the Rudy part. Look at this. Luke 3:8-9. Therefore, bear fruits. There's the fruits. Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. In other words, yeah, I got a religious experience. I'm good. You know, I already know this, John, okay? For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Now look at this. This is, you probably never heard anybody talk about this verse here. Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Oh, we better take notice of what it means by root there. You're going to go this direction. You're going to go this way, Christ says, because if you don't, there's an axe at some type of root here. What's he driving at there? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. What? Well, what's that? Well, that's authentic, real love and no cutting corners. And he says the axe is at the root. It's almost sending the message of, you know, do it or else. Christ could get really in people's face on this kind of stuff. He could really be provocative, okay? Root, what's he talking about here? Okay, well, root usually means the foundation of what you're all about, your inner core, your source of strength. Where's your security? Where's your foundation? Okay, if there's no fruit, I'm going to take a look. Christ is saying, I'm going to take a look at the foundation of your life. Okay, I'm going to take a look at what's at the core. What's more important to you than anything? What drives you? Where do you get your nourishment and your life sustenance from? He's going down to the core. He's going to go to where your core is. What is that core that stops so many of us, listen, from bearing the fruit of the Spirit? What's that core that prevents us from producing fruit keeping with repentance? What does the carnal man lean on? What does he have his security in? be a good thing to know, right? Because I'm saying it probably stops the church and anybody that wants to serve Christ from really being everything they want to be in Jesus. Well, here it comes. 1 Timothy 6, 9-10. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root. There's that word again. Love of money is the root, is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And I would suggest there wasn't too many fruits of the Spirit growing because this was at the root. Okay? I'm suggesting that's what it is. And it's not just a lame theory. Okay? Wandered away. Drifted away. You know what type of culture we live in. Okay? You know where our priorities are. If you don't have Jesus, this is the main force. Okay? It really is. It's the God of our culture. In God we trust, all others pay cash. Okay? Get all you can all you get, then sit on your can. Now some of you are thinking, John, how can you say it all boils down to money? Well, I'll give you some biblical backing here. Before the cross, okay? Before Jesus died on the cross, before the resurrection, before the day of Pentecost, all these people following Jesus, you probably heard the term, it came up, it's in the book of Acts, they called Christianity, they called this new Messiah, they called it the Way. Okay, the Way. You see that. It was the Way. They didn't know what to call it. They're following Jesus, but it's the implications. If he's really the Messiah, it's more than just following. This is the Way. And then he comes along before he dies, and before he's rose, and before the Pentecost, he says, I am the Way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Now, look at, I just showed you that part of Luke 3, 8, and 9 where it talks about the axe is at the root. Here comes Luke 3, 10. Okay? And on. And the crowds were questioning him saying, what shall we do? Axe? Root? You know? What are you talking about? You know, the axe, he says, produce fruit. And then look at how he responds. He's not even telling them to repent. Okay? What should we do? He goes right to the heart of what drives them. He says, the man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has no food is to do likewise. And some tax collectors also came to be baptized. And they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you've been ordered to. Some soldiers were questioning him, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? And he said, do not take money for anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. In other words, whoa, what you're saying, you want us to bear fruit, and the axe is at the root. I'm telling you right now, he went right to where the security was. You gotta stop having bucks as your security. Your security's gotta be in me. And if you want the fruits of the Spirit to grow in your life, I would suggest right now, quit going after the almighty buck. But I don't have any. Well, look at, I've met more people that are obsessed with money than rich people. Probably because the rich people I know, they keep giving it away and God keeps giving them more. There's a difference between owning stuff and stuff owning you. Okay? Have you ever been with people who their stuff owns them? I hate hanging around people like that. Oh man, I need every ounce of God's grace to be kind to them because I want to hit them, you know? But, and that's irrespective of income. But people who like, you know, they got stuff and they keep giving it away, and as fast as they give it away, it keeps being replaced. And sometimes it doesn't get replaced. And it doesn't matter. They're still giving it away. Okay? You see how this is right where we live? You see where the God of this culture, Jesus says the axe is coming to the root right now. And it's going to be upset in this money mad culture. Listen, in this money mad culture, nothing is as counterculture as generosity. In this money mad culture, nothing's as counterculture as giving things away with no strings attached, you know, and just wanting to bless. Look at what's popular in the bookstores. Self-help, self-preservation, self-protection, self-promotion, security. Yeah. Even when people serve Christ and they go to follow him, hey, what am I going to get out of it? Really? You know? Give me a reason to go to your church. How am I going to like be entertained? How am I going to like, you know? Do you see what we do when we protect ourselves, okay? When we protect ourselves. And please, I'm giving a side of a truth here, and I know there's a common sense area that we, you know, good sermons, you know, start people talking about stuff. I get that, okay? But you see what we do when we protect ourselves? We hedge our bets. We make sure that, you know, we give what we can spare. We feed the very thing that stands in the way of our salvation, okay? Well, yeah, I'll you know, if I've got some extra, you know, you can have kind of like the leftovers. Look what Jesus says. Boy, you keep trying to do this Christian thing and you keep reading what Jesus says and you go, oh man, now what am I going to do? You know? Remember, we follow Christ. We take his word seriously. Okay? If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? That's Christ's priority. That's not the ranting and ravings of, you know, a crazy nutbar pastor, okay, who gives, you know, crazy titles to his messages. Now, I, to some degree, have been forced into this in the last couple years, okay? And don't wince when I start talking like this, because I'm not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable. But since I got laid off of the radio, and since I left the previous church, for the last 2 or 3 years, my income has been reduced about 60%, okay? Now, I still live in a beautiful home. I got a car. All my needs are supplied. It's ridiculous. I live in the blessing of God. It makes me feel guilty sometimes, okay? But that's the reality of it. And anybody that's gone through something like that, when you try to adjust to a reduction in income, you're kind of, whoa, you know? I never talk about it, okay? Ever. But I look at this and I think, yep, if I'm trying to save myself, that's going to undercut everything Jesus is trying to do. In fact, I would suggest that what I've gone through in the last three years has done probably more for my understanding of Jesus and his plan for my life and him kind of kicking my butt and revealing what real life is all about than just about anything I've ever gone through. I would not have chosen to go through it, and I have no regrets for, you know, the actions that I've done, because it's way more important to honor God, okay? I'm just letting you know, if you choose to live this lifestyle, if you choose to get serious about following Jesus, it's not always going to be, oh, happy, 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 bless, 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 you know? Doesn't work that way, okay? It's more important that we're Christ-like than we're blessed, according to Jesus. It's more important that his Holy Spirit can flow through us in power. Now, I really, really, I sincerely do trust him. He could take care of me, okay? In fact, if I worry too much about him taking care of me, I don't think he can take care of me, okay? That's what he's trying to drive home in this verse here. This is this root, the root of what our security is. We have the fruits and the gifts in abundance, and they are flowing through our lives. But the root has got to make sure it's getting its security, its nourishment from Christ. It has to, okay? Someone abundant in the fruits of the Spirit. Now listen to this. Someone who's abundant in the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, they don't care about themselves. I'm telling you right now, you've met people like that. People that are there that have a ton of the fruits of the Spirit, they don't care about themselves. They're thinking about other people all the time. They care very little about their own needs. I've talked about Bob Bedard, who was on my show twice, okay? He was the founder of the Companions of the Cross. And I've told the story about him saying, I got talking to him about motives once. He says, oh, don't worry about motives, just do the right thing. And I went back to my notes, because when he told me that, I took notes. And my notes on what he said was more than that. And he said this, motives. Just do it. And this is what he said. And it didn't really sink in until I had to meditate on the word. Motives. Just do it. Quit being so concerned about self. I thought if I was concerned about motives, that was good. I thought that was me being a pure heart. But really, he saw right through that. When you're concerned about motives all the time, all you care about is like me on the inside. I'm a real spiritual guy. I'm a real holy guy. When he was saying, just do the right thing and stop thinking so much about yourself. I've got to put the emphasis on the joy of other people and the action of being obedient to the Lord instead of, oh, I got a pure heart when I'm doing that. Because I don't know about you, I will hold on to any ego trip I can get. I will, okay? Even a pure heart and pure motives. If I do something with pure motives, I walk away as arrogant as anything. I do. And God says, what is your problem? Okay? You can think about motives so much, and according to this guy, and one of the most powerful men of God I've ever met, quit thinking about motives. Stop being so concerned about yourself. Wow. Even the good stuff we do, we're doing it for ourselves because I did that with a pure motive. Look at me. You know, we don't say that, but that's what's going on. I'm thankful I got kicked in the butt for that one. I did. So what's at your root? Do you want to produce fruit? Do you see the value? Do you see the imperative, the necessity of this fruit of the Spirit? This gymnasium here, it's not a lecture hall where we dispense information. It's where the bride of Christ, God's people, come together. And he says, you know, when you're gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. He's alive. And some of you old timers, you know the term altar call. An altar call is when we would call people to the altar to make commitments to Christ. Here's the problems with most evangelical altar calls. They never alter your call. You know, you come, oh, that felt good, and nothing changes. Okay? A real altar call alters your call. It changes things. And I could preach the best sermon in the world. That's not going to happen. Okay? The Lord's got to do it, and He doesn't force Himself. He is really, the altar is this place here. God's people, they come closer together to the altar. And He really is in our midst. And we try to inspire, we try to help each other, we try to assist. And I hope that when we get together over and over and over, that our impact on each other, we make each other hungry for only what God can give. Okay? I am hungry for only what God can give. I'm not looking for better services. I'm not looking for better music. I'm not looking for better messages. I'm looking for things that only God can give. Okay? For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and discipline. There's another one I didn't put up there. We pray in obedience to receive the Holy Spirit. And we want to receive the Holy Spirit into that core, that security producing part of our life, with the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, for all the fruits, for all to see, for all to hear, and for all to benefit from. Close your eyes, okay? Close your eyes. Tutti frutti o rudi. All the fruit. Especially at the root. Bearing fruit. Nobody looking around. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, okay? You're religious, you've gone to church or whatever, you know. You can go to church all your life and never know Jesus. Some people think, you know, that's the same as like living in a chicken coop and thinking you're a chicken. Doesn't work that way. The only way it happens is to surrender to Him and He comes in as Lord. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to make that right this morning, I always give an opportunity for people before we do anything else, because that's more important than anything. That is square one, okay? That's where the whole thing starts, right there. It's not a commitment made on your strength and your resolve or your willpower. It's simply, the Word says that He knocks on our heart's door wanting to come in, and we simply open the door and He comes in. He's faithful to His Word. And if you've never done that before and you want to get that right this morning, and we don't center people out, we don't embarrass people. I don't like doing that. I don't like people doing that to me. I'm not going to do it to anybody, okay? But if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never received Him as that, I want you to raise your hand up real quick and put it right back down. And before you get out of this room, I'm going to pray with you about that, okay? This morning. Up real quick and down real quick, okay? Good. I'm assuming that that's right with everybody. About 6 weeks ago, we were in York Street Public School. And I prayed that you'd receive the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've gotten reports back from that Sunday that people, something's happened in their lives. Something spiritual and something supernatural has happened in their lives, okay? See, I don't have to see fire fall from heaven. And I don't have to see people scream and yell, you know, to have the real authority and the baptism of the Holy Spirit take place. Because the Bible says all you have to do is ask for it and agree together and God will give it to you, okay? We're talking about something that's an empowerment here. This is not salvation. This is the infilling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have that in your life and you want that this morning, I want you to raise your hand real quick and put it back down, okay? Okay? That's cute. Somebody kind of like put your hand up like halfway. But I get that. That's good enough for God. He knows, okay? He knows. Well, I got one person hungry. Thank God. The rest of them, you know, I know you guys well enough that you'd all like a more empowering Holy Spirit. So this is what we're going to do. Because I know you'd love Jesus, because I know you'd like that in your life, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And the people that raise their hands and they'd like that in their lives, you're going to make this in your, this prayer alive in your life, okay? And there's no magic way to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I've seen people filled with the genuine thing under such crazy and different and varied circumstances that there's no restrictions anymore. He can do it in whatever way He desires. The only ingredient that's required is somebody desires it, you know? In fact, He said, you know, if you want the Holy Spirit, you know, if you ask your earthly father for a piece of bread, He's not going to give you a stone. How much more is the Heavenly Father willing to give you the Holy Spirit, okay? So I'm just going to choose to trust Him on that. So would you pray with me, all of you?
And there's a couple people praying this, and they've never received it before. And they're serious about this. So we're helping them out. That's what we do. We help each other. Bear each other's burdens. You're praying with me after me right now. Lord Jesus, I've heard about this. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want that. If it makes me more like you, if it causes me to bear more of the fruits of the Spirit, if it causes me to be more effective in building your kingdom, then I want that in my life. Would you please fill me, baptize me with the power of your Holy Spirit, do it your way, and show me how to yield to it so that you will have your way. I thank you that you take my prayers even more seriously than I do. Help me to have faith to believe and take away my fear of doubting my doubts. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.